All right. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to look in Ezekiel today, and thank you for being here and being in your place. One thing we do have, I think, that you'd appreciate on a day like today is air conditioning. And so if you came to church for no other reason, come for the air conditioning. It works really well. So actually, I heard by Wednesday the temperature is supposed to drop down, but you know how weathermen are. I think they guess most of the time. We're going to look at an unusual story here in the book of Ezekiel. There's a lot of talk when people, particularly when they're talking about church people, you know, that you're supposed to be genuine and you're supposed to be authentic. In other words, you know, you should just, what you see is what you get. Now, that doesn't mean you know, I'm a jerk. Let me just act like a jerk. I'm not talking about that. But being a real, just being who you are. Sometimes people talk about living a double life. You've all heard stories about somebody that did some heinous crime, and then they go and they talk to their neighbors, and it's like, I'm shocked. This was the nicest guy, you know, that I ever knew. I'm surprised that he would do something or she would do something like that. But they didn't realize that in that person's life, deep down, there was something bubbling over that was not taken care of, and it caused an issue, and it came out in the things that they did. None of us are perfect, but our aim in life ought to be that way we live lines up with what we say we believe. Amen. That the way we live lines up with who we are in Jesus Christ, and that we're not trying to be a fake, that we don't have a double life. I heard about a deputy. There was a deputy many years ago in the 70s, a deputy sheriff in Florida. Come to find out that he got arrested for murdering 30 people. And yet he was a deputy sheriff and he was able to hide it for several years. Now that's the bad end of it. But the thing is this, we just want to live our lives in such a way that we don't have to hide things. We don't have to be fakes. We're not perfect, I understand that, but that we are being genuine. As we look at the book of Ezekiel, was a priest, and now he's more of a prophet in this part of his life. He was a prophet to those that were exiled in Babylon. In other words, God had allowed Israel to be overtaken by Babylon because of their sin, and they were carried off captive into Babylon, and they were going to be there for 70 years before God would bring them back to their land. Even though that they had already been taken away and the judgment God had promised had come, they still needed a prophet while they were in Babylon to help them, because there were still false prophets. And God wanted to speak to his people and prepare them for when they would go back. And as we see, even in our times, people who are true prophets are not popular because there are a lot of false prophets. People don't want to hear the truth. You know what they want to hear? They want to hear something that they like. I mean, Jeremiah was up saying, hey, listen, Babylon's here, and God said, here's how it works. Don't fight them. Give up. And if you don't give up, it's going to go bad for you. That's not a popular message, but it was God's message. And then there were other prophets that didn't hear from God that were saying, you know, we're going to break free. Yeah, we're not going to go into captivity. God's going to, and they were lying. And they were popular, that Jeremiah wasn't. And so Ezekiel's one who prophesied the truth. And so in these verses, God is sharing something that would not be outwardly known to Ezekiel here. In chapter 8, if you look at the beginning, he's sitting with a bunch of the leaders of the Jews who were there in exile, and they're talking to him. As they're talking to him, God takes him in a vision, and he's taken to Jerusalem. And God in this vision is showing him what is really going on in the lives of these individuals. Not the ones that came to talk to him like they were interested in God or they wanted to know what God wanted them to do. God's going to really show Ezekiel what is really going on in these individuals' lives. First, he sees a temple. He sees in the temple an idol. He calls it the image of jealousy, because God is the only God and he doesn't want us worshiping false gods. Then he sees a hole in the temple, and he digs through this wall and he sees 70 elders secretly worshiping false gods. idolatrous drawings. Then he is taken to the gate of the temple and he sees women worshiping Tammuz, who was a female false god. And then he is taken to a spot by the porch of the temple where 25 men are worshiping the sun. This is all throughout the chapter. These people were trying to hide who they were, but God wasn't having it. Look at verse 12 of Ezekiel chapter 8. Here's where I want to focus in on the truth here, and I want to encourage us today and help us. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12, he goes, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark when they think no one's going to see them? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. These men, the one that came to him, in their lives, they were hiding who they really were. Their false worship. Outwardly, they seemed fine, but inwardly, it wasn't going very well." Here's the problem for us. That can be us if we're not careful. We get to the point where outwardly we're trying to live a certain life. We're trying to do the right thing. It can be spiritually. It can be in a family setting or whatever it is. You name it. But yet inwardly we're starting to allow some things. We try to hide it. So who are you really? You think about it. Where is the real you? Is it the real you that everybody sees? I hope so. But if you want to look at your life and figure who you really are, what kind of Christian you are, what kind of human you are, what kind of spouse you are, parent, you can just all down the line, you want to know where you find that real person? Right here. That place that only you know. You know what the good thing is? If that place lines up with what you're trying to be outwardly, you're in a good spot. Well, Pastor, inwardly I'm being right, but every now and then I have a little slip up. That's okay. We're not perfect. As long as you work on that inside. By the way, that's vitally important, is it not? Because God tells us that, you know where God works on us before it all comes outward? God works on us inwardly. Right? What did he tell us in Romans? The way to be changed, the way to be transformed. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. God starts to work in our mind and we start to have different thoughts about how life should be and following God. And as that starts to change internally, it naturally manifests itself externally. But that means this, only you know who you really are. Right here. You may fake it on the outside, but on the inside, if it's not right, it's eventually going to come out. So we need to work on the inside. Now, they had some problems. And I want to look at their problems and see if maybe this is what's starting to be a problem in our life, inwardly. Because you can hide it inwardly for a while, but it's going to come out. Here's the four problems they had. The first problem is pretty obvious. It's the problem of idolatry. They're worshiping the sun. They were worshiping the female deity, the elders that he dug through the wall. And this is all in a vision, but it was absolutely factual. They were worshiping idolatrous drawings. They had set up idols. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 1, it says this, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart." Idols. Now, I don't think most of us here have false idols that we worship. I don't think, especially on a hot day, you wouldn't do this. You're going to go out and worship the sun. I don't think you're going to worship some of the false gods that the Bible mentions. I don't think many of those are a problem in our society. You probably wouldn't be here. No one goes home and in your room you have a little idol that you made and you go down and this is my God. You don't do that. I'm pretty sure. But you know what we do? We have more sophisticated idols, right? We may not say that we worship them, but we really do. Who or what you really worship is not seen in church. It is seen in your life during the times that you are not at church. These men were hiding who they really worshiped. And by the way, it amazes me that here they are in Babylon being judged by God, and they're still following those false gods. How easy is it for us to let these things creep into our life and our priorities get out of order and things aren't going well, and we still doggedly hold on to that which is actually destroying us. That idolatry brought judgment in their lives. And by the way, idolatry will bring judgment in your life as well. But you say, Pastor, I don't have any idols in my home. Well, you may have them in your heart. What is an idol? Here's an idol. It's pretty simple. Anything that you place ahead of God. Oh, you wouldn't fall down and worship it, but that thing becomes more important to you than God. That thing would keep you from church. That thing would keep you from being a steward of God. That thing would keep you from spending time with God. You look at it, whatever it is, we are more sophisticated than they were back in those days. They just basically, they were what they were, and they would have these false gods and put them in place of the other god. And by the way, most of the time, you know where they got those false gods? From the society around them. That's why God said, and you say, I don't understand this, and God wasn't being racist. He said, when you move into the land, don't you dare intermarry with the people of the land. Why? Because he knew if they did, they would start worshiping their false gods. And God didn't want them to have anything to do with that. And yet, we get these false gods, and the reason it's so easy for us to get these false gods, because they are gods that our society would put their stamp of approval on. All kinds of idols these men's were worshiping, these men's. I keep saying that. You can tell I was an English majors, okay? Do we have false gods of our age? Yeah, we do. Sports, right? Is it? Come on, let's just be real. People will miss church if their favorite team is playing. People will miss church for their children to go play in some sports league. I don't want to be real mean, but I got to be real honest here. Should I be? I don't want to come across as mean, but I don't care who you are. We had someone come with a group, and they weren't from our ministry or whatever, and their mission's on the missions field. They were in our area, and they actually came over to my house several years ago for an activity we just happened to be having that Friday night. And that Sunday, I'm like, the other group came, I'm like, hey, where are they at? They're not at church this Sunday. They had another church? I'm like, oh no, they said something like their daughter or son had like a karate tournament. I'm like, what? A missionary would miss church because their kid had a karate tournament on Sunday? But it's just as bad if we do that. You know, it's like, well, you know, I know God wants me to do this, or, you know, I serve in ministry on Saturday, but I want to be. Don't put that ahead of God. We put our entertainment ahead of God. We put our money ahead of God. Some people put their careers. You know, that's the most, and by the way, if you have a career, you ought to work hard and be successful at it, amen? That's a Christian virtue. But if you're putting that ahead of God, you're working so many hours, you can't come to church, you can't be with your family. You can tell God, you can tell your family how important they are, but importance is spelled T-I-M-E. And so let's be very careful. Anything. Someone has said this, whatever controls us, whatever consumes us, controls us. What controls you? Is God just another little thing, you know, that you stamped onto your life? Because Paul said, for me to live is Christ. So let's put God in his proper place. Let's let God reign supreme. And you know where it starts? It starts right down here in our heart. And you can chip away at that and still do some of the outward things, and the inward thing starts to go sideways, and eventually it'll all come out. You say, Pastor, what can I do to do that? Make sure that one great way is just, you know, make sure you're spending time with God. You know, God, I love you. You're the most important thing in my life, and we never spend time with him. How would that work in your marriage? You know, the Bible calls us Christians, right? And then I'll move on. Why? Because we're Christ. We're with Christ. But if you were called after your idol, what would you be called? Officiant? Okay. I like to fish. I'm not good at it. That's why if I go, I take Brother Ross because he is good at it. Amen? I know if I take Brother Ross and I stand close enough to him, if he's catching fish, I will. Right? We went one time and I'm standing next to him. He's catching fish. I couldn't catch anything. So I'm saying, guess what? We're going to switch spots. And we switched spots and guess what happened? He caught fish and I didn't catch anything. Like, God must not like me. He likes him. You know, I'm a footballian. I'm a moneyian. We're Christians. Let's make sure we keep everything in its place. Second, there was a second problem they had. And by the way, we struggle with all of these, okay? I'm not getting on you. I'm getting on all me, myself. The problem of ignorance, not just idolatry, ignorance. Look at verse 12. For they say, and this is the most ridiculous statement in the world, the Lord seeth us not. Really? The God of the universe doesn't see what we're doing? He sees everything. But what have we done? We've talked ourselves into it. We've ignorantly talked ourselves into believing something that the fact of the matter is, we know it's not true. What they did in their life was up to them, and God, they believe God, what they did in their life was up to them, and God didn't see it. But here's the funny thing, okay? Even though God didn't see it, they hid it. Why hide it if God doesn't see it? I'm going to tell you why right now. You ready? Because they didn't want others to see it. And let me just take a step further. And so the reason we can fool ourselves into believing, now listen to this, it might be good. It would be the first good thought I had in a long time. The reason that they hid it so that others didn't see it is because it's easier for us to believe that God doesn't see it if we don't allow others to see it. Then we start to fool ourselves. We're hiding it. That makes little sense. Deep down, they know that God knows, but they feel like he doesn't as long as others don't see it. And let me just say this. God does see everything. I'm not trying to be mean. I just want us to think this morning. You may think that you're doing things and your spouse doesn't know, and they may not know, but God knows. You may think you're doing things as a Christian and people who know you at church, they don't know about it. And you may think you're okay and God doesn't see it, but can I tell you, God does see it. And by the way, if you could hide something from everybody in this world for your entire life, still doesn't make you successful because God will see it. And by the way, that typically is not going to help it happen because the Bible tells us that our sin will find us out. You say, Pastor, look, let me just ask you, what are you doing on social media? Social media. There's a spiritual leader, not of our ilk at all. And several months ago on his Twitter, I think it was on Twitter or something, he did a search for something that was immoral. And he thought he had it in the search engine, and he actually searched in his tweet, and he posted it. And then he tried to come back later and say someone hacked it. And they did the timestamp and everything. He got caught. By the way, he was caught long before he was caught. God knew exactly what was going on. What are you looking at? What are you listening to? What are you doing? How are you communicating? Who are you texting with? Time on the internet, the music you listen to. Let me say this. You want help with this? Okay. Boom. Would you be willing, if you're a spouse, to give your phone right now to your spouse and say you can look at anything you want? And If it has a lock code on it, I'll unlock it. See, super quiet in here right now. Super quiet in here right now. My wife can get into my phone anytime she wants. Fact about her day is she does occasionally. She was last night, not because, you know, she's searching on me, although she can. She usually runs her battery out on her phone and just wants to use my phone, right? Like, great, now you're going to run the battery. I could care less. I have nothing to hide from her. By the way, you know what that does? Keeps me accountable. And I know that if I'm okay with her seeing it, that I'm okay with God seeing it. I'm just telling you. If you would not let, and there's probably some of you husband and wives here, I don't know who you are, no one came and talked to me. You know, it's like, I've tried to get my spouse to let me see his phone, and he won't let me see it. That's bad. I have nothing to hide. Can I see your phone? No. You have something to hide. Right? By the way, do you know what helps us? Accountability helps us. You know what the fear of the Lord is? Not that God's going to squish us if we do something wrong. The fear of the Lord is knowing that I'm accountable to God for everything I do, I say, I think, and that I'm accountable to Him and He knows. That's the fear of the Lord, and that helps me. Now that I lost you all, let me try to bring you back around. So fear, you say, Pastor, how can I get rid of this ignorance? Fear God and be willing to be accountable. What are you spending your time on? Right? This is another one that won't be popular, but you'll get over it. It's good. If you're in a family, they ought to know where you're at all times. Right? Find my friends. Life 360. I know where my family is. They know where I is. Okay? I'm on there. I have no problem. I try to schedule my life in such a way that I'm accountable. You say, aren't you a grown man? Can't you go and do what you want? Yes, but they know where I'm going and they know what I'm doing. Because I'm not going to do anything dumb. I don't want to do anything to ruin my family. I don't want to do anything to bring harm to this church. We have a rule. Staff, and we had to put it in a few years ago. If there's something that seems shady and you say, Pastor, I don't understand this, then don't work for me. I'm not talking our staff. They're okay with it. But like if there was something someone said, hey, I think there's some shady things going on or whatever, if I ask for your cell and say, let me see your cell phone. I want to see your text messages right now. If they say no, they're fired. Now, I'm not going to go check all their stuff. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying. But they can see my text. Okay? It's like, I'm moving on. The point is, that's good for us. It keeps us in line. Do you understand? And I understand that in not just Baptists, all types of Christian, all kinds of different Christianity and in the Bible leaders, they've done stupid things. Anybody can. I don't want to. And so I want to make sure that I have some accountability in place to keep me in line. Okay? And I have no problem with it. Number three, here's another problem. Since that one was so popular, we'll just move on to the general ones now. The problem of iniquity. Okay? The iniquity. In verse 14, it's talking, in chapter 14, it's talking about the same thing. He says in verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. In verse 4, it says the same thing. And putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his place. See, here's the problem. When you have the wrong worship, it puts the opportunity to stumble in sin in front of you. That's why we want to be very, very careful. The goal isn't we're trying to be this outwardly self-righteous, obnoxious individual that thinks, you know, they always say holier than thou. That's not what it's all about. We're just trying to do the things inwardly and be careful so that we're not putting ourselves in a situation where sin is right there and we can get involved with it and it'll trip us up and it'll hurt us. God doesn't want that. I mentioned the verse to you, but here's the reference if you would like it. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. He's talking to the 2.5 tribes, but it's for us too. And be sure your sin will find you out. Do you know there's one thing a Christian can never do successfully? Are you ready? Sin. You may be able to sin, but you're not going to be successful in living a life of sin. It just doesn't work that way. You're God's child. And God wants to work in your life, and he's not going to let you get away with it. God's a real parent. He's not like some of us. We're not, you know, we spoil the kids and let them do what they want. God has our best interests at heart, and he's going to try to keep us in line and help us. So what happens is, when we have a false god, we're in essence, we don't think it's a false god because it's not an idol, but it is an idol in importance. And so what we're doing is we're lowering God, and whenever you lower God, the opportunity for sin becomes much stronger. How do you know? This verse right here, think about this verse. Psalm 66:18 says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You get that? God said, you know where that starts? To have a regard is to have like when you have regard for something, you have a high, you place a higher value on it. You have a higher view of it. And God says, hey, wait a minute, you may not do that outwardly, but you start to do it inwardly. See, what happens, you're doing the right thing, and then, you know, you start looking at people that are doing the wrong thing, and it's like, well, you know, what's so bad about that? I mean, is that a big deal? And you start having a regard for it, and God says, I'm not even going to be listening to you if you have that kind of spirit. Why? Because you're lowering God. When you lower God, you can't hear him. You're lifting up iniquity by regarding it. By lifting that up, you are lowering God in your life. So let's be very, very careful. You say, well, what do I do, Pastor? What if I have done something? It's very simple. God gives you the formula. Confess and forsake it. This is a great verse, and this will help you. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. What is covering it? It's down here. No one sees it. But God wants us to give us a victory over that. Amen? Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You go to God and say, you know what, God? I've been letting this stuff well up inside of me, and I don't want to, Lord, and I know it's wrong, and I know you know it's wrong, and I don't want to do it anymore, Lord. Please forgive me. And then we do everything we can to wipe it out of our life, and we get God's power to wipe that out of our life. Don't feel if you're struggling with something that I'm being condemning this morning, because I'm not. We don't preach to condemn. How many of you know that? We preach so that we can figure out what needs to be fixed, and we fix it. And God says, there it is, confess it and forsake it. Then lastly, we won't spend a lot of time on this, we're about done. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. Then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. And I already talked about that. You know where it starts? Right here, in the mind. We start thinking about it. We start processing it. And when we let it get a foothold in our mind, we're going to start to justify it. And then eventually we're going to start to find a way to do it. That's why you fight the battle in your mind. When stuff starts to lodge in there, you got to fight it. Here's how you fight it. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is all like military type words. Casting down imagination, like throwing them down. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, and here it is, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Those thoughts start to come into your mind, you start to fight it. And you start to say, I am going to bring my thought life into captivity. I am not going to allow my mind to be filled with stuff. And by the way, you're going to lose that battle if you're watching the wrong kind of things, if you're listening to the wrong kind of things, if you're following the wrong kind of things. Listen, what you feed you can control what you feed into your mind. You can't control what happens because you fed your mind. If you feed your mind junk, guess what's going to happen? Junk's going to come out. But if you feed your mind the right things, good stuff comes out. So watch your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Get the good in. Get the scripture in. Keep the garbage out. So what's the point this morning? Here's the point. Where's the real you? Right here. And you know who knows who the real you is? Really? You. Just you. You say, Pastor, I've been doing pretty good with that. I encourage you, keep going forward. It's a constant fight. But maybe we're starting to allow some stuff in. Maybe we need to put the guard rails up. Some of us flat out just need to accept accountability. We need to go home and say, honey, here you can look, here's my code. You can look at my phone, you can look at my computer, you can look at my iPad, whatever it is. I don't care. That's good for us. Let's quit being sneaky. You say, I'm not doing anything wrong, but you're building a pathway to get to doing wrong. So just work on the inward man. Because if the inward man is right, guess what's going to happen? The outward man's going to be right. And you have nothing to hide. Let's bow our head and close our eyes if we may just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 1 minute, please. Say, Pastor, why would you talk about something like this? Because it's something we all battle. I battle it and you battle it. Because we feel we can hide things, this is what we do. It's just the way it happens. It's just the way it works out. So what do? Let's fight it. Let's strengthen that inward man. Yes, I'll say this, and listen, I don't apologize for this. As a Christian, there are a lot of outward things that need to change in our life and a lot of outward things we need to do. But let me explain it to you this way. We can't do those if we don't start with the inward man. It's like putting makeup on a pig. It's still a pig. It's just a good-looking pig. You know what we do is we strive to do the things. We let God work on the inward man, and the outward man will take care of itself. But we got to fight it. Maybe you're here this morning, and let me just say this. The way you strengthen the inward man is through time with God and the Spirit of God. It tells us that in Ephesians. But if we are not Christians, we are not saved, that's a battle we're going to regularly lose because we don't have God on our side. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, the first inward thing you need to do is trust Jesus Christ so the Spirit of God can indwell in you. Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? Very important question. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know, with nobody looking around, you say, Pastor, that's me. I would like to know this morning. If you just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Yes, back here. I see you. Can we stand together this morning? A message like this, when we have an invitation, we're almost afraid to come down because it's like, well, if I come down, I have wickedness in my heart. No, you don't. Sometimes we need to come down and just say, Lord, strengthen me because I don't ever want to go that direction. I always want to be genuine with you. If you need to do business with God this morning, the altar's open. Why don't you come and pray? Would you say, Lord, I want to be right my whole life. I never want to stray in that area. Build those defenses in my life.